My beloved people, I draw your attention to the fact that there's still Epiphany chalk available. And if any of you have not yet received Epiphany chalk or blessed chalk, please, there's plenty of it here, and I think there's more should we run out. But avail yourself of it and use it as you know how, and use it for the instruction of those who will be instructed. Also, I mentioned to you that in time that, of course, as you know, February the 2nd is Candlemas Day, and if any of you have any candles that you want blessed on that day, please try to get them to us before that day. Just simply put them on the bench of the pew that's in the back of the church there in the vestibule, and be sure you identify the candles so they don't get misplaced. And we will bless them together with the ones that we will bless for the church here. Of course, in this bulletin, and I not only have it in the book, but not only put it in, place it in the bulletin, but I wish to bring it to your attention personally, our tremendous gratitude to each and all of you for what all you did for us over the Christmas day. We are so grateful to you, and you were so good, and we sincerely, profoundly appreciate it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, we have now come to the end of the beginning of the liturgical cycle. We have waited for the coming of Christ in the weeks of Advent. We actually saw Christ come to us, to be with us, and now we must move on. That period is over, and we begin to prepare ourselves for another section of the year, another period of time that will be for us that medicament, that treatment, which hopefully will bring us to the point of salvation, Lent. As has been said, when Christmas comes, can Lent be far behind? And it is about time, in another week or two, as a matter of fact, maybe even next week, I'm not sure at the moment, we will start speaking of the time of Septuagesima, which is, of course, a prelude to Lent. But all of this that we talk about, all of this that we do, all of this that we propose, has but one end in view, and that is our own personal salvation. We must be very cautious that we do not look upon these events as they take place simply as events or reenactments of something else that happened earlier. Of course it happened earlier, and we are all aware of that, and we all already know the story, and we all know all about it, what took place. But the thing that we must be very well aware of, in fact, in its enormous importance of why did it take place? And following that, we must ask the question, what are we supposed to do about it? What is in it that we have to listen to? We speak of the world. We talk about it, we criticize it. And it is to be criticized. And we see the world in front of us going downhill at a steady clip. Those of you who are out actually in it are not quite, it's not quite so noticeable to you because you are in it all the time. And it's like you are accustomed to the odor around the place, and like you're walking into the church, if you live in the church, the odor of the incense, the fragrance of the incense, you lose it. You forget it. You don't notice it. But if you come in from the outside, it becomes quite noticeable to you immediately. For those of us who, thank God, are within these somewhat, sheltered walls, and they're only somewhat, when we go out into the world, we notice it more deeply than you, because we do not see it all the time. And we see just exactly the way the trend is going. Language, pretty language, is what is being used in order to lead souls away from God. And the language that is being presented to us all, especially to you, is a language that sounds very convincing. And it is being presented by people who know how to convince others. But as we speak of language, let us go all the way to the beginning of language. Was it not language that Satan used in order to destroy all that God created? How clever were his words! He did not condemn. He did not criticize. He simply presented the beauty of what he said was beautiful. You can be like gods. What's wrong with that? You know. You will know the difference between good and evil. Isn't that wonderful? That you should know these things. Language, language, language. And we're doing the same thing. We're using language to pull us farther and farther and farther away from our moorings. They bit the apple because the apple was told them was so sweet of taste. That afternoon, they had to run to put clothes on. And they did learn. See, the devil did not really lie to them. His logic was good. His logic was clean. His logic was clear. He didn't lie to them. You will know the difference between good and evil. And sure enough, they did learn right quick the difference between good and evil. And immediately, they had to put clothes on. That afternoon, when God came a-walking into the garden, and he saw them wearing clothes, he asked them, "Why are you wearing clothes?" And they said, "Because we were naked." And now we see the effects of what had taken place when the next shattering question was placed to them for their consideration and for their answer. God asked them, "Who told you that you were naked?" They had learned the difference between good and evil, and we ourselves today are in this same labyrinth, which incidentally, as soon as I learn a little bit more about it, we're going to hear a little bit more about it. When in this labyrinth, presumably we are looking for God, presumably, as we're walking in the various avenues of this labyrinth. And when we get to the center of that labyrinth, instead of finding God, we find self. The very thing, the very identical thing that Adam and Eve found, self. And the minute that self came into the picture, the same as it is right now, the moment that self came into the picture, they started on their pilgrimage away from the tree that was in the center of the garden. And you remember we said here just a couple of weeks ago that the house of Nazareth, Nazareth was built, we're speaking figuratively. The house of Nazareth was built what? Out of the wood that came from the tree that was in the center of the garden. But they started on this pilgrimage away. And the farther they got away from the gate of the garden, the more toward self did they turn. The more toward self did they, the closer to self did they get. We have got to destroy self in all of its ramifications. And it comes at us in so many ways that we are blinded by it. Of course it's good to be like gods. Of course it's wonderful to know the difference between good and evil. Of course. Who can deny that? But I am not at the center of the universe. I like to think that I am, but I am not at the center of the universe, and neither are you. And yet, what we are being taught today, and our children are being taught this today, that they are the center of the universe. Of course, they're not being taught that directly. Remember the questions. Would you like to be like gods? Then, of course, come with me and I will show you how to be like gods. The answer to that is in that tree. The logic is perfect. You cannot fault the logic. Right now, when speaking to the monks, we have been discussing how in the Middle Ages, the time when the period of time in our history of saints and scholars, we have not been able to equal the sanctity of the Middle Ages, and we certainly have not been able to meet the scholarship of the Middle Ages. The Dark Ages, you know, that they speak of, the scholarship of those Dark Ages far surpasses everything that we are capable of producing today. And the sanctity of the Middle Ages far surpasses everything that we call holy today. And their children in the elementary level, what were they taught in school? The three basic elements that they had to learn. It was called the trivium. Three, it comes from tri via, three roads, three avenues that lead to knowledge. And what were they taught in the trivium? One was grammar. The next one was rhetoric. And the next one was logic. How to write? How to speak, and how to think. My beloved people, is there anybody in this house, this room today, that will contradict me when I stand in front of you and say that our children today, in the advanced stages of whatever you want to call it, cannot write? They can't write an English sentence. They cannot speak. And for heaven's sake, they haven't the foggiest notion of how to think. They have all the information. The information is all in there, and it's at their disposal and at their fingertips, but as far as taking the information that they have from up here someplace and putting it on the practical level, they can't do it. It was very much thus his heart. I have to tell you this, and I don't say it in disrespect because it's so funny that it just can't be left put aside. Of course, if you're mechanical, you are mechanical. If you're not mechanical, you're not mechanical. I can't operate this simple little thing here in front of me most of the time. But my novice master, bless his heart, of happy memory, Father Philip, he knew all about pencil sharpeners. But any time he wanted to get his pencil sharpened, he had to give it to somebody else to do it because he didn't know how and couldn't figure it out. Of course, in other respects, he was very brilliant. But the point that I'm trying to make is this, as I'm rambling on, is that we do not know what it is or what it takes for us to become saints. The other is so far more attractive to us that we follow along in the leadership of those in front of us as we no longer think our way through it. And if we ourselves have a difficulty with thinking, what about our children? And then we go to the next generation. What about their children? As we sit back and tell them, this is the way you can think like gods, that you will know the difference between good and evil. As difficult as this may be to hear, it's just as difficult to speak. My beloved people, if I, to begin with, and if you, all about it, everybody in this room, if you want to save your immortal soul, there is only one way to go about saving it, and that is up that very, very steep mountain called Calvary. There's nothing easy about it. There's nothing at all easy about it. We don't care to know. We must put aside this business of wanting to know and be like gods. We must put all of that aside. There's only one thing, first and foremost, that I personally have to be concerned with, and that's the salvation of my soul. And then if any light, and I use that word advisedly, if any light comes forth from me, for others to see that perhaps they might save their immortal souls by what they see in me, then may God be praised. All the other shenanigan talks that we have, that today is being presented to us, this is the way. Yes, this is the way to the tree where the apple is. And all you've got to look at is the world. And in our schools, what are our children being taught? You know what our children are being taught. And as they get higher and higher and higher in the level of education, they get higher and higher and higher in the level of immorality. I here do not speak necessarily of immorality as being involved in the with the sixth commandment. I speak of immorality as doing everything that is against the moral law. And the fact that I am teaching that what you do is good, go out and fight this and visit the sick and take care of this and be friendly. Of all things, you've got to be friendly today. You've got to express good fellowship today. You've got to be popular today. And we teach this as being the end in view. Why am I wanting to be popular? What is the reason why I should be popular? Because I enjoy that. And I am the one who reaps the benefit of that popularity. I go out in all these other things. See, what we have done, instead of raising the natural to the supernatural, which is what we're supposed to do, we've done right reverse. We have taken the supernatural and brought it down to the natural. And we expect that to save our immortal souls? No, not at all. Not at all. Rather, it will cause us to lose our faith. And it was, I'm trying to quote this, I probably will quote it incorrectly. That's all right. You'll hear it correctly one of these days. It'll come up in one of the bulletins, you can be sure of that. The sad part of it all is this, my beloved people. When one has lost his faith, most dreadful part of it all is that one does not know it, that he has lost his faith. So you can't even talk to him about it because he won't believe you. It's your faith that you've got to keep of the highest quality. If you lose that, don't bother. That's why you hear us speak in terms of the interior life. It's not because it's a cause, like saving the lives of the birds, some extinct bird in the jungles of someplace. We must maintain our faith at any cost and put everything else aside. And our faith, we know what our faith is. It's being presented to us every chance we get. We know what is required of us in the exercise of our faith. We must do it. Not easy, but we must do it. So as we now are beginning to get ready for that period of time called Lent, that's the time that we must re-examine the quality of our faith, the level of our faith. Why are you here? And why am I here? This is what we've got to come to grips with. Why are you here? Is it just to do something? You can do that something at home. If you've got to go out and do something, go out and dig a hole and plant a tree. If you're looking for something to do. The only thing that matters, my beloved people, is that whatever it is, the only thing that's important is that someplace along this way, as I find and have found myself, and who is it in here that has not found himself on this road that leads away from the tree in the center of the garden, that unless and until I come to a point in that road and make up my mind, I've got to turn around. This is taking me in the wrong direction. And so I must turn around. And we hear more and more of the term the conversio, the conversion. And we must proceed with that. And Lent is a time for that. My beloved people, we are living in very dangerous times. We're living in the most dangerous times. And the apple on that tree is ever becoming more and more and more attractive. Isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? God bless us. God bless us.